feeling you had was a set of eyes burrowing into the back of your skull, lurking behind the branches of an overgrown shrub. But then you turn around and the eyes are gone. I remember the feeling of uneven ground twisting my skinny ankles as I walked faster and faster down the gravel roadway that led to my house, fumes from the retreating school bus billowing behind me. The shadows in the woods danced as the sun streamed through the tree branches, my own silhouette looming large like an animal prepared to pounce. I would take deep breaths, count to 10, close my eyes and squeeze my lids, and then I would run. Every day, I would run down that stretch of isolated roadway, my house in the distance seeming to move farther and farther away instead of closer within my reach. My sneakers would kick up clumps of grass and pebbles and dust as I raced against something, whatever was in there, watching, waiting for me. I would trip on my shoelaces, scramble up my front steps, and slam into the warmth of my father's outstretched arms, his breath hot in my ear, whispering,
"I've got you, I've got you."
His fingers would grab fistfuls of my hair, and my lungs would sting from the influx of air. My heart would crash hard against my chest as a single word formed in my mind. Safety. Or so I thought. Learning to fear should be a slow evolution. A gradual progression from the Santa Claus at a local strip mall to the boogeyman under the bed. From the R-rated movie a babysitter let you watch to the man idling in a car behind tinted windows, staring at you for just a second too long as you make your way down the sidewalk at dusk. Watching him inch closer in your peripheral vision, feeling your heartbeat rise from your chest to your neck to the backs of your eyes. It's a learning process, an ongoing progression from one perceived threat to the next, each subsequent thing more realistically dangerous than the last. Not for me, though. For me, the concept of fear came crashing down with a force my adolescent body had never experienced. A force so suffocating it hurt to breathe. And in that moment, the moment of the crash, it made me realize that monsters don't hide in the woods. They aren't shadows in the trees or invisible things lurking in darkened corners. No, the real monsters move in plain sight. I was 12 years old when those shadows started to form a shape, a face, started to become less of an apparition and more concrete, more real. When I began to realize that maybe the monsters lived among us, and there was one monster in particular I learned to fear above all the rest. May 2019. Chapter 1. My throat tickles. It's subtle at first, the tip of a feather being trailed along the inside of my esophagus, top to bottom. I push my tongue back into my throat and attempt to scratch. It doesn't work. I hope I'm not getting sick. Have I been around a sick person lately? Someone with a cold? There's no way to be sure, really. I'm around people all day. None of them looked sick, but the common cold can be contagious before ever showing any symptoms. I try to scratch again. Or maybe it's allergies. Ragweed is higher than normal. Severe, actually. An 8 out of 10 on the allergy tracker. The little pinwheel on my weather app was solid red. I reach for my glass of water, take a sip, swish it around a bit before swallowing. It still doesn't work. I clear my throat. Yeah? I look up at the patient before me, stiff as a wooden plank strapped to my oversized leather recliner. Her fingers are clenched in her lap, thin, shiny slits barely visible against the otherwise perfect skin of her hands. I notice a bracelet on her wrist, an attempt to cover the nastiest scar, a deep, jagged purple. Wooden beads with a silver charm in the shape of a cross, dangling like a rosary. I look back at the girl, taking in her expression, her eyes. No tears, but it's still early. "I'm sorry," I say.